let's turn in God's Word now to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we'll be reading this morning verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And friends, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you once again for your word. I pray now that you would grant us your grace. Pour forth your Holy Spirit in power. You would teach us your ways. You would call us unto your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would have life. You would sanctify us and cleanse us of all of our remaining sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 16. These are God's words. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Those are God's words. Last Lord's Day, we began hearing of the great duty here that's described for every Christian to fast, of fasting. We learned from the Lord of the nature of fasting, that is, the various ways to fast, whether it's abstaining from food and drink, or abstaining from good food and good drink for extended periods of time. But above all, to fast from sin, to turn from sin. And these all outward actions to deprive and take away all that invigorates the body. For what purpose? We learned that we take away all that invigorates the body to afflict our souls for good, to humble us before the Lord, to show us once again that we are completely dependent upon Him, where we have been living comfortably with ourselves and building ourselves up, thinking in pride that we're so greater, we're stronger and better than we really are. That fasting is not merely abstaining from food or drink. It is afflicting the body in order to afflict the soul with complete attention and focus upon the Lord in prayer. So why fast? We heard as well last Lord's Day from the Scripture that there are times for individuals and corporate bodies when being threatened or oppressed by the danger of a plague or judgment from the Lord, that they fasted. We ought to fast at such times, even when there is a need for great wisdom, when there is a very weighty task that must be performed, or a time of needing to make a choice on a very weighty matter. We ought to fast, and you ought to fast when you have a sense that you have been distant from God, or it seems like God is distant from you and you desire communion with Him. These things and more we heard all last Lord's Day. This morning we continue now looking at the fasting. We can look at first your objections to fasting. Your objections to fasting, my objections as well. The first objection you will make is that as a Christian, we should fast from sin and not food. You'll say we need to fast from sin and not food. And this is what the Lord requires. He absolutely requires us to fast from sin. We've read that last Lord's Day. We're going to read it again in a moment. But He also, at particular and occasional times, requires us to fast from food and or drink as well. In our passage, Jesus assumes fasting from food. We heard last Thursday as well. Moreover, he says, when ye fast. He assumes that there are times when you fast and that you should fast. He implies that you should fast at times. And then he goes on to talk about how one's body will not look so good due to this. And the steps to take because of this, that your body is looking weak or whatnot. Or disheveled, right? Because Jesus is talking about fasting from food and drink. This is not an either or. We are to abstain from sin. Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, says the Lord, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. All the sin needs to be broken and shoved aside. We ought to turn from it. But we're also to abstain and fast from food. And we've learned that last Lord's Day. We are always to abstain and fast from sin. But there are times that we are still too comfortable with our sin, that we must fast from food as well in order to afflict the body, to not be so comfortable anymore, to see our sin and turn from it. To afflict the body, to show our minds, our wills, our idolatries, our sins. And to be able to turn from those things unto the Lord. The second objection. But isn't it better to abstain from the common effects of fasting? Because some of us have fasted before. And you know there are often common effects that come upon you. And thoughts that come in you, like pride, which we see here in the passage in Matthew. Vanity, also in Matthew here. Crabbiness, being easily angered. Abstaining, wouldn't it be better to abstain from feeling terrible? Aren't all those things better to abstain from that, we often enter into because of our fasting? And so rather than fast and experience those things, those sins, shouldn't we just abstain from those sins? Perhaps by abstaining from the fasting. But again, it's not an either or. It's both and, or both and or, right? Both and. Both must be done at a particular times for fasting, always for sin. We abstain from food and drink so that by God's grace, through these outward means of fasting, along with all the other outward means, the word, the sacraments, prayer, we are enabled by the Lord to abstain from various passions and attitudes which He is not pleased with. We abstain from one, the food, as a means of God's grace to abstain from the other. And these little self-denials through fastings are one of the ways that the Lord has seen fit to discipline and strengthen His people in body and soul. You might think of it as pruning the vine that it might produce greater fruit in the long term. The third objection that you have and I have often, I have fasted previously. And this is especially one that's relevant to all of us. I have fasted previously, but I didn't find benefit nor blessing in it. All fasting does is make me feel bad. And instead of preventing anger and anxiety, etc., fasting has increased these things. Friends, this may very well be true for you. And it has at times been true for me. There are ways to fast and pray as to make you much worse than before. More unhappy. More unholy. And yet the fault is not in the means that the Lord clearly commands us with, but in the manner of your use of those means. It's the same with corporate worship. When we come together to worship the Lord together, you may not benefit in worship. You may not be benefiting in worship and coming, even when you come to the Lord's Supper, you think, I'm not benefiting from partaking in the sacrament. I feel the exact same as I did before and after. But that's not a problem with the means. The word, the sacraments, the prayer, the worship. That's not a problem with those things. The problem lies within ourselves, with you, and how you use them. And so you are to continue worshiping, not abstaining from it. And here you're to continue occasionally fasting when it's appropriate. But do so, if you're experiencing these problems where you don't think you're actually growing, do so fasting in a different way. In the way commanded by God, as we've been learning. In a different manner. So go back and study. Do what God commands as He commands it. And then without any doubt, His promise is that He will bless you without fail. He promises that in the Lord's Supper. He will strengthen you in faith if you use the means properly. And He promises here in fasting, He will bless you. Look at verse 18. He says it. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall. He shall reward thee openly. He will reward you. He will bless you if you fast in the way He commands you to fast when it's the right time to fast. That's His promise. And He is always faithful. The fourth objection. Well, isn't this just superstition? To believe that God regards fasting? If that's what you believe, then you'll have to consider the likes who also fasted of Moses, David, Jehoshaphat, Ezra, Samuel, Nehemiah, all the prophets, even all those we heard last Lord's Day in the New Testament that we won't go over again today. All these, you're saying, if that's what you're saying, these men were weak and superstitious. But that's obviously not true. They were weak at times. That's why they fasted. But they're not superstitious. Because Jesus Himself, you're saying, is superstitious too. If that's what you're saying, that fasting is just a superstition, then you're saying Jesus is superstitious too. And that is blasphemous. And that's far from the truth. And so we ought not to consider fasting as superstitious at all, but rather that they were wise at right times to fast. Think of all the apostles after they were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about this. They had the anointing of the Holy One, teaching them all things, commended themselves as ministers of God in fastings, so that when the bridegroom Jesus Christ was taken from them, they fasted. We read it last Lord's Day evening, 2 Corinthians 11. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's Paul, as he was suffering and being persecuted. Fastings. And finally, friends, your objection. Maybe it's a snarky objection. Is if fasting is so important and there's so much blessing in it, why not fast all the time instead of occasionally? And the truth is that you're not kept from fasting as long as your body can handle it. And you're free to do so if you so determine. The Lord gives us freedom in this. But in reality, this continued abstinence from food is not Christian fasting, if that's where you're taking this, that we should just fast all the time. That's not Christian fasting anymore. Now it's Christian temperance. You've just abstained always from it. Or from good food all the time. And such temperance must not interfere with actual fasting and prayer, because God in Christ commands us to fast. So even our abstaining from certain things all the time should not interfere with our fasting and praying unto the Lord. Right? It's the same thing with wine, right? A lot of people have a problem with wine in the Lord's Supper. And yet God commands us what to use. He shows us very clearly from His Word what to use. And then there'll be some people who have taken a Christian temperance view, they'll abstain from all alcohol, and yet that should not keep you from the Lord's Supper. Because if it keeps you from the Lord's Supper, then you're in sin, because God in Christ commands you, come to my table and partake with me. It's the same thing here with fasting. We learn in our passage that fasting in secret is good. Not that all fasting is in secret, just like prayer. Prayer we have should be in secret a lot of the time, but not always. But if you're constantly abstaining from food, fasting, maybe even doing it for health reasons, then that should not restrain you or prevent you from fasting in secret at the right times, in accordance with wisdom that God gives in His Word. When the nations or the elders call upon the church to fast like they have done before, sending Barnabas and Paul out on their missionary journey, if you're continually fasting, just as the elders here have called the church to fast, if you're continually fasting, then you won't be able to fast with the rest of the body of the church. And yet just a few words shut down any sense that fasting should be all the time. Jesus says, moreover, when ye fast. He's saying, not only implied there, that fasting is to be done, but at the same time, he's also saying, it should not be done all the time. Because he says, when ye fast. There are times when you don't fast, and there are times when you do fast. Daniel fasted how long? 3 weeks, we heard last Lord's Day. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Was that all the time? No. Jesus is our perfect example. He did not fast all the time. He feasted a lot of the time. And fasted, we learn, 40 days and 40 nights at least one time. And so those are the common objections of fasting. And Jesus addresses all of them and calls us to fast occasionally. And so then secondly, this morning, how to fast. How to fast. As was said last Lord's Day, fasting is not refraining from food due to poverty or wealth and greed or illness or for health reasons or being prevented from eating food due to business activities. And some of you perhaps practice what is called intermittent fasting for health reasons. That's all well and good. You're free to do that. But that is not the fasting of Scripture. The fasting of Scripture is first and foremost, we even learn in our passage, it is done unto the Lord. It is done unto the Lord. Colossians 3, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Our chief end and purpose is to glorify the Lord, and He commands us to fast. And so when we fast, we are to do it unto the glory of God, first and foremost. Unto the glory of God. With our eyes firmly fixed upon Him. Our fasting should move us to express our sorrow, our grief, our shame for the many sins we have committed against His perfect and holy law, to plead with Him for sanctifying grace by His Spirit and by the Word, to focus and refocus our attention on the things above, not on the earth. And you know, when you fast earnestly, this adds seriousness and earnestness to your prayers. To your prayers. Instead of comfortable, lackadaisical prayers. We must turn from our sins of the passage before us. Look at the passage here in Matthew 6. Turn from making our fasting and prayers an abomination to the Lord by mocking Him. What you see described as the hypocrites, what the hypocrites do is a mocking of Him. It's an abomination before Him. It is a blaspheming of the Lord. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now we know what this means, friends, because we have studied these phrases before by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. You look at verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Right? We studied that. And verse 6 for prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, you go back to verse 5. When they prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, just like our Pat. Verse 16. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I do not be like the hypocrites, then, in your almsgiving, in your praying, and in your fasting. Do it intentionally, doing it intentionally to be seen by men, to be seen by others. Look at how much and how earnestly I fasted, everybody. Everything about me looks terrible. And I'm sickly looking because I haven't eaten. I've been fasting. It says they disfigure their faces so that people, men, can see them and say, wow, they are fasting. How holy are they? But that isn't fasting, Jesus says. He says it right there in verse 16. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. But he's saying they're not fasting. They're not actually fasting unto the Lord. They're fasting to themselves. They might not even be fasting. They might just go into the bathroom, or whatever their equivalent bathroom is in that time, and they're messing up their faces and making them look all horrible, so that then they go out and people just think they're fasting. They're not fasting. The Lord determines, He judges their case. He says they have their reward. They have men to see them as if they're fasting. They have perhaps the admiration and praise of men. That's their reward. Congratulations, right? That's what Jesus is doing. And that's what He's saying. That's their reward. Perhaps they get really into the ruse and they dress up in sackcloth and they put dust on their heads. Or ashes, so that everyone knows they're fasting. No, they're not fasting. Jesus instructs us. It isn't about others seeing us at all. Rather, verse 17, He says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. So you don't look like you're fasting. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father. Who are you to appear unto when you fast? To the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And so when you're fasting, perhaps you might put on sackcloth. You might put on that clothing we talked about last Lord's Day that's not comfortable. That itches your skin. And it takes all the things that invigorate the body away, so you afflict the body and thereby, Lord willing, afflict your soul. And maybe you sit outside in your backyard in the dust praying. I don't know. Maybe it looks like that. But then when you go out in public, go take a shower. Go put on normal clothes. Ladies, if you wear makeup, go put your makeup on. Right? And you go out so that nobody sees that you're fasting. Because the Lord is not, you're not doing this for men. You're doing this unto the Lord. Not that the Lord would see that you went through the steps and you put on the bad clothing, you're not eating food. But that you're truly, in doing that, you're afflicting the body in order to invigorate your prayers unto the Lord. Oh Lord, how I need you. How earnestly I need you. And pleading with Him. Fasting, we see here, is unto the Lord. It's for your Father to see. And here He promises He will reward thee openly. He will bless you in your fasting. If your fasting is unto the Lord, He will bless you. But now, secondly, if we do desire this reward and blessing, and all of us desire reward and blessing, then be warned here that you're fasting to not think you will merit anything before God by your fasting. You don't earn anything before God by fasting. You cannot be warned too often of trying to establish your own righteousness, trying to bring about your own salvation, or even the keeping of it by your works. To take salvation ourselves instead of receiving it by God's free grace. This pride, friends, is deeply rooted in all of our hearts, so that we have this mentality that we have to keep doing these things, the means of grace, and we have to keep reading our Bibles, and we have to keep praying in order to keep our salvation, in order to have God continue to look down on us in favor, instead of doing those things out of gratefulness and service to the Lord, because He has, in Christ, clothed us with the righteousness of Him. And so we ought to take that pride away. It's not in the doing or performing of God's means of grace that we earn salvation or that we keep it, though we are to do good works, which is a proof, the fruit of justification and salvation. But it's in the Lord. It's by His grace that He grants us salvation, and by His grace that He preserves us, even as we're learning in Sabbath school. And these are the means He gives us to grant and preserve us. You remember this, friend, as a warning. The Lord comes, Isaiah 58. He issues this rebuke unto them, asking the question, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head to a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? In other words, he's talking about and rebuking God's people in Judah for fasting. They look like they're fasting, and yet they're just going through the motions. Oftentimes, like what perhaps we do when we come to worship, we're just going through the motions. But we're not earnestly, from our minds, our wills, our hearts, our affections, really engaging in worshiping the Lord. But rather just going through the motions. It's not about performing the means outwardly. It's not just about your performance. If it is only your outward performing of these things, fasting, worship, prayer, then it's all wasted effort, because everything you give is imperfect, filled with sin. It does not profit the soul. And so murder not your body. Even in fasting, I have to think of this as well. Murder not your body in fasting, but take great care of your bodies. All of our bodies are different. And some can't handle not eating. Or you're feeding a baby in the womb or out of the womb. Nursing. And so maybe your fasting looks a little different. Maybe you're eating nutritious foods that don't taste so good. As we heard last Lord's Day, we have to care for our bodies. In other words, you might be older, frail, and where if you don't eat, then you could be seriously damaging your health. And so in our fasting, it cannot be merely outward performance. We merit nothing again before the Lord, but rely fully on the righteousness of Christ for us in salvation. But be careful when we do fast. Thirdly, in the same way, be careful to humble your souls as well as your bodies. Humble your souls as well as your bodies. Whether it's public or private fasting, every fasting is to be a time of exercising all the holy attributes, attitudes, which are implied in a broken and contrite heart. It ought to be a time of devout mourning and godly sorrow over your sin, like what the apostle declared in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Right? It's not just that you were sorrowful, but you were sorrowful unto repentance. For ye were made sorry for a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So there's two sorrows you could have in fasting. A sorrow of the world and a sorrow that is godly. But a sorrowful affections that are holy do what? They lead you to repentance. To turn to the Lord from your sin. And so this fasting ought to work as we look unto the Lord, seeing, grieving over our sin. It ought to work into unto us to cling all the more tightly to the Lord. It ought to move us from loving the things of the world and our sins, our own flesh, to move us away from those things to loving the Lord, to loving how He's given us our bodies and treating them well, and also in our souls to move us to righteousness in Christ with a zeal that whatever may be the means of the glory of God and our own growth in love and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would perform and that we would conform to the holy and acceptable will of God. That we would conform to Him. And fourth, we fast by joining in fervent, lasting prayer. We fast by joining in fervent, lasting prayer. Pouring out our souls unto the Lord. Confessing our sins. Humbling ourselves before His almighty hand in fasting. Laying open all before Him as of our guiltiness and helplessness. Have you ever come to a point where you think, we have to pray and pour ourselves out to the Lord in prayer continually because of our current circumstances? In such times, it is most likely the time to fast. Those are the times to fast and pray. And so, friends, fast unto the Lord with your eyes firmly fixed on Him, just like He says here. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father. Unto thy Father. That you would be led to Jesus Christ and life renewed in Him alone. And so, friends, you are to come unto the Lord today in Jesus Christ. Do you want the reward, the blessing that He talks about here in verse 18? Then, as we've just heard, you are to come unto the Lord in Jesus Christ as He freely offers you of His grace and mercy and all the heavenly blessings and rewards of eternity in communion with Him forever. You are to turn this day from your sins unto Him. That's exactly what fasting is to lead us to do. To turn on from your sins, to turn you from your sins to Him. Come unto Christ today and obey Him according to His Word, not just go through the motions. And if you have attempted time and time again to merit your salvation, to keep your salvation based upon your personal righteousness outside of Christ, then you are to come and bow humbly before the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and take that He would take you up, that He would cause you to stand upon His righteousness and to serve Him by His grace. And then one final application. I mentioned it last Lord's Day. Family fasting. Family fasting. Don't often think when we think of fasting as something as a family we do. Or in our individual families. We've been called before corporately by Synod, Presbytery, by our the elders in this congregation to fast at times. And there are times when the Lord calls you to fast privately, individually. And that's what Jesus is primarily instructing in our passage. But also, He calls fathers and husbands of corporate households, a family, to call their families at times to fast. It is in the head of the household, the father, the husband, to call their family to fast at appropriate times. And that same, the same with the application to the civil magistrate. The civil magistrate at times can call the citizens of the nation to fast. In Zechariah, there is in the context that in chapter 12, the mourning and grieving over sin, the Spirit is poured out and implied fasting. And it says, And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, right? Looking upon Christ. And they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, then their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and it goes on. And families were called to fast by themselves. In Esther, before going into the king, Esther and her maidens fasted. Each family of the Jews fasted. And so, beloved, with a short application here, fasting is not just individually done. There are times when it is appropriate, and we could probably talk afterwards if you want. There are times when it is appropriate for husbands and fathers to call their families to fast and pray. When there's a particular matter, a struggle comes to a particular family, it is wise that the father and the husband call the family together to fast. And so in our nation as well, by the magistrate. Jesus says here, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And really the results of this are that the Lord will turn your fasting, your holy fasting, into holy feasting. He will reward thee and bless thee in Christ His Son and your Savior. And so you're called to occasionally fast. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How great you are, higher than the heavens, exalted above all. Christ, our King, our Mediator, our Intercessor, exalted. And yet, Father, how often we think that we are independent of you, dependent upon ourselves or something in this world. How often we think that we're fine, we're comfortable, everything's going well, and we get comfortable with ourselves and we grow sadly in pride and turning away from you and just going through the motions in worship, in private devotion, family worship. Father, turn our hearts this day to Jesus Christ, your Son, from our sins. At the appropriate times, grant us wisdom to be able to determine it is time to fast and pray. And teach us your ways how to fast, even from your word alone. That you would grant us an affliction of our soul unto an encouraging and a building up of our souls. That you, coming unto you, in full dependence of you, you would cause us no longer to fall, but to stand. And to stand firm in Christ your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.